Welcome everyone to our first FA Leagues and Club podcast for 2020. Throughout the season, we've been delivering a number of webinars on a variety of topics ranging from community engagement to marketing and communications. But with the return of the Premier League back on our screens and the restrictions of football activity easing, we wanted to continue to still share important information, but just in a more convenient way for you. So the first podcast of its kind for League and Club volunteers, we'll look at the topic of money matters, where over the next 4 weeks, we'll cover a basic overview of club finance, the ways in which to manage money, how to work within budgets and taxes which clubs and leagues should be aware of. Each podcast will be shared with those who have registered their interest every Thursday at 8 p.m. For anyone who is listening on another channel and hasn't signed up to receive these podcasts direct, please visit www.thefa.com/get-involved/player/clubs-and-leagues. This will be shared with your County FA network or as part of your signing up instructions, because I appreciate that is a very long internet search. So by way of introduction, my name's Danielle and I'm the National Club Services Manager here at the Football Association. And I'm delighted to be joined today by James from Sporting Asset and Derek from one of our youth clubs in Essex, but is also one of our FA club consultants. James, I'll start with you. Do you want to give our audience a little further insight into what you do at Sporting Assets?
Great. Thanks, Danielle. So I work for Sporting Assets, as you say. I spend a lot of time on day to day working with community-led sports clubs, some of them football, sometimes other sports, provide support and guidance on a range of things from kind of feasibility for facility projects or capacity building or helping them raise finance. So most of my time is spent with volunteer committees and as always, you know, there's a real range of skills and particularly when it comes to background in finance and confidence in finance. So I think this is an important podcast, just to look at that, because I think, you know, it can be a scary topic. And actually what hopefully we'll achieve today is not try and teach accountants how to do their job, but try and help people that perhaps aren't as confident with some of the terminology and things that they'll encounter. So that they feel, you know, able to contribute to discussion in the same way they would about other topics.
Brilliant. Thanks, James. And Derek, I know you'll be speaking today not only as a club consultant, but also with your club lens on. Do you want to give a small overview of your role as an FA club consultant, as well as your time with Forest Glade Youth, who are now more known as Hashtag United?
Yes, of course. Yes, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. Yeah, I'm Derek Pearson. I've been a chairman at a club for now 28 years, I think we commenced this club, with a man and a dog, really. So we had 9 players to begin with. So balance sheet information in them days was probably on the back of a fag packet. But nowadays, we have to look at how we manage that differently. And my role at the club really has been chair for almost since its inception. But more recently, the FA persuaded me to sign up as a club consultant, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And it's actually opened up lots more aspects to my career as well. And also talking with clubs about how they manage their business and not just on the accounting side of things, but How do you put in place a business plan, and how does that drive the accounts? So I think for us all today, we all manage businesses in a different way, but it will give us a really good insight into ideas that you may not have thought of, but also to think, yes, this is a way forward, and we can sit down as a committee and actually use some of these examples for our future.
Brilliant. Thanks, Derek. And it is all about that, isn't it? It's all about the future. It's providing club and league volunteers with the right information and tools to be able to deliver within their club and their community. So without further ado, let's get started. James, as we all know, COVID-19 has and continues to cause some very worrying times for us all, with grassroots clubs and leagues also feeling that uncertainty, with finances being one of the biggest concerns clubs and leagues have. So why is finance and the management of finance so important?
Okay, yeah, so if I can just flip on. So, I mean, as you say, Daniel, unfortunately, at a time like this, it really does bring it into sharp focus, some of the issues that we'll cover today. So, you know, when we talk about thinking about why businesses, which include sports clubs, might get into trouble, you know, there's a variety of reasons, really. So, you know, cash flow management, if you've ever met anyone or know anyone who's started a small business, they'll tell you cash is king. So, you know, it's ultimately, when does that money get received into your bank account? And when you look a little bit further down that slide, you've got poor credit control, for example. So, you know, what systems do you have in place to chase late payments, bad debts, all the things that ultimately contribute to whether you get paid or not. And, you know, whilst it's easy to apply that to small businesses, even at a club level, we all know the challenges of not getting subscriptions in on time or having a good system in place. You know, there's some more obvious things that, you know, that can get you into trouble, around overspending. And, you know, sometimes, although that sounds quite reckless, it might be, you know, it might actually be because you've not got the information that you need about the financial health of the club you're working at, which is, you know, I'm sure Derek will share some of his thoughts on that throughout the podcast. But, you know, it's very easy just to say overspending. It's about making informed decisions. You know, and actually kind of building on what you said about COVID-19 with funding, you know, we've seen a few kind of capital projects at the moment that are being, I suppose, having to be rethought through or phased because, you know, the costs are currently changing, you know, so the supply of some of the materials is harder to get. I think that's something that, for example, has happened a bit with artificial pitches, depending on where they're coming from. So again, it's, you know, it's a movable feast. So what might look like a well thought through budget for a particular project suddenly changes. So there's a lot of different ways that business can get in trouble, and hopefully some of the systems and processes and information that we talk about today can help mitigate that. So you know, just kind of, I suppose we want to just break down and identify what the main areas are in terms of the club accounts, or what you may or may not see firstly. So we'll go through these all in a little bit more detail, but first up we'll talk about the income and expenditure account, which is often called the profit and loss, which is really just that story of your business over a period of time. So it shows the transactions, incomings and outgoings. Then we've got the cash flow statement, which shows when that money's received, and again over a set period of time, and ultimately will help you know whether you can pay your bills or not. And finally we'll talk about the balance sheet, which as the name suggests is all about ultimately balancing up assets, liabilities, and any shareholding or equity that's in the business. So another thing that, you know, another term or phrase that you often hear is either management accounts or statutory accounts. So it's important to realize the differences between these two. So management accounts are very much built up and tailored at the discretion of each club or business. So something that will typically be viewed by the committee or directors, and you know, it will show as well as your normal kind of income and expenditure, there might be particular focus perhaps on certain areas that you're prioritizing, maybe from your business plan. So they can be set up really in any way that you'd like, any way that really helps the committee and the directors and the board make informed decisions. And, you know, in future sessions, we'll talk about budgeting and monitoring a budget. But, you know, these are often broken down into different areas so that you get enough detail to really know which areas of the business are working well or not. Statutory accounts are very different. They're, you know, more formal because ultimately these are accounts that will be set out in a certain way that meet the criteria laid out by your external regulator. Now, it depends firstly whether you're incorporated or not, so whether you've got a legal entity or not. If you have, then each legal entity will have a corresponding body which will ask for the accounts to be laid out in a certain way. So, for example, if you're a company, then you'll file accounts in a format that Companies House layout. If you charity, you'll have extra responsibility on the information and in terms of the information you need to provide with your accounts. You'll get guidance from the Charities Commission. And if you're a registered society, then it's the Financial Conduct Authority who will, again, ask for the accounts to be laid out in a different way. So these are the statutory accounts, as well as presenting them to your shareholders or members. You will also file those with one of those regulatory bodies, whereas management accounts are very much an internal set of accounts that help you make the decisions that you need to make about the business.
Brilliant, thanks James. I think a lot of the clubs on the call will probably be unincorporated associations, but if there is any clubs that do fall in that bracket and they'd like to explore potentially the different options that are out there to be incorporated structures, then there is a document that has been produced by one of our legal partners called Muckle LLP, and the document is called Club Structures. So very simple document in terms of title, but it does give you all of the varying structures out there that is available for clubs and leagues to explore. So some really good information there, James, to get us started. And Derek, it'd be really great to get you in at this point. And just to talk about, from a club's perspective, who does look after your club accounts, and why is it important for a club to make sure that they have the right accounts in place and that they're monitoring them and making sure that they're keeping on track?
Yeah, of course. I think it's imperative, really, that that the accounts are managed in a professional way. And when I mean in the professional way, not necessarily have to be managed by an accountant that's qualified. I think most of us have found our own clubs that someone puts their hand up eventually to become the treasurer. And that's good. And I think we've managed to actually get through that. I think in future years that may need to change somewhat, as James describes, that the statutory accounts might challenge one or two of our treasurers in the future, but for now, I think, you know, we use some of the club who's got that business knowledge, who's got that business acumen that will allow us to actually view these accounts in a way that can help drive and support the strategy. I think what is important here is that you don't want to run your management accounts in isolation. You need to make sure that your management accounts are actually supporting your strategy, your business. Otherwise, it just doesn't tie up. So that is imperative that you do that. And the use of the accounts. It's no good actually producing accounts at the beginning of 1 year and leave them in your bottom drawer until the end of the year. And then you think, oh, dear, we're overdrawn here or we've got some challenges. They need to be viewed regularly, and they need to be viewed by the committee, not just two people. I think we all hear of things that have gone on at clubs in the past where, unfortunately, sometimes people have run off with the money. So it's important that these accounts are really shared across the committee. Now, as a club, we actually have the management accounts as part of the agenda at every committee meeting, which are normally on a monthly basis. And the other point I wish to make here is that you need to make sure your management accounts are not consolidated balances, because having a consolidated balance is almost impossible to view what action you need to take. So making sure that management accounts are line by line, I think James will actually talk a little bit about that more later, but that's imperative as well. You start to build a trend, and that trend allows you to actually challenge what the club's doing and where to spend the money in the future. So I think management accounts and the treasury's role at a club is clearly a key role, along with the other committee members, but it needs to be open and honest. It shouldn't just be with the chairman and the finance person that sits around the table.
Brilliant. Thanks, Derek. I think it's a really good point there, isn't it, around that open transparency with accounts. It's getting everyone around the table to be able to view them and help as well determine if there are any kind of bumps that you may experience along the way that can be kind of viewed and hopefully noticed before you hit that bump. But like you said, the more people you've got viewing them, that they're open and transparent, just helps with that. James, I think the next slide we're going to talk about around the income and expenditure of a club. Are you okay to just take us into a little bit more detail on that, please?
Absolutely. Yeah, no problem. So as is often the case, there's different terminology that often means the same thing. So, you know, income and expenditure account is one. People might also know it as the profit and loss account. Tends to be over a year. It might be the calendar year, or you might have a separate accounting year. It's really as simple as it shows income and expenditure over that period. As Derek said, hopefully, ideally, it's broken down into enough detail that really allows you to pick up a decent picture, a decent story of those different income streams and where you're spending the money. And then, you know, at the bottom, the income less expenditure gives a surplus or deficit for the period, and then you add that to the opening reserves, which gives you a closing position. So we'll come on to cash flow actually in a second, but yeah, so, you know, a simple kind of categories, and yeah, again, as Derek said, I'd always look to, within reason, try and break these down into as much detail as you can to get a true picture. So even from, you know, just looking at the example we've got there, we've got member subscriptions, tournament, sponsorship. Well, you know, you'd want to know the different types of membership category. You'd want to perhaps know a little bit more about the tournament income itself. So is that fees? Is that food and beverage? Is it other components, so that you can really, you know, work out which part of running a tournament or running an event is actually bringing in the most income. And then, you know, some simple examples of expenditure there, ranging from, says salaries, but yeah, we'll come on to this in a later podcast. It might be more just paying for you know, coaching, or certainly non-employed people to support an event. You've got the rent, rates, utilities, office costs. So it, you know, it covers the whole spectrum, and there's some good templates out there where you can see kind of how it's laid out, so that, you know, your different costs are categorized in a nice easy way. And you know, it's always a, I think anyone who's preparing this information is, you know, is always kind of trying to work towards perhaps the person who's least confident, competent, looking at spreadsheets to make sure that it's really clear exactly what the business is doing. Because if you're asking people to make decisions at committee level about the business, they need to understand the income and expenditure. It's just another little small point here, which might be relevant for some. It says for charities, it might be the same maybe for a grant. So maybe a revenue grant. Sometimes you'll see it split out so that in terms of restricted and unrestricted income. So where you've committed to spend money in a particular way, perhaps to a grant funder, it's a way of just showing, I suppose, the true position of what the club could spend its money on, because it's committed to an external body, in this case maybe a grant funder, to spend it in a certain way on a project. Okay, and then do you want to show the statement, Danielle? And then again, it's a very simple, and perhaps as we said earlier, like it, maybe we'd break it down a little bit more, but a basic example of an income and expenditure account. So you can see, you know, this is for 2019, so it's retrospectively over that period. There's a surplus in this case of 7,000. The opening reserves, so coming into the year, were 10,000. So, you know, that gives you a closing position of 17,000. So it's, you know, it's obviously a very useful snapshot of the year. It differs slightly from a cash flow, which we'll talk about in a minute, but it will allow what's called accruals. It's not completely based, unlike a cash flow, when the cash actually hits the bank. It may be that a transaction takes place and it would be captured in an income and expenditure account, say in 2019, whereas actually, so maybe, for example, an invoice is billed, but you haven't actually received the money, you would still capture that in the income and expenditure account. So it gives a true reflection in terms of the transactions, albeit it doesn't give the same true reflection of the cash position.
James, if you don't mind, just going to jump in there. I think it's also worth mentioning that it's imperative that the statement, which is everything that goes into the bank account, it is reconciled to your ledgers, really, that you're running. So because without that regular reconciliation, you could be managing the club off a balance, which is incorrect. So it's just the point, as we go through all of these podcasts, to remember that regular reconciliations between external holders or cash is key, that you do that on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And probably a question for you both, really. Are there any other things that clubs and league treasurers or committee members should be looking out for in this income and expenditure sheet, for example? I mean, you've mentioned a really good point there, Derek, around that reconciliation quite often to make sure that something isn't being missed. Is there anything else that clubs should be looking for?
I think, Jen, I think trends, you know, as James said, if you can break this down a little further, you will see some trends that will allow you to actually look at the highs and lows of the balance sheet and the income and expenditure. So that drives some decisions around the committee, or some discussion around the committee, about what action needs to be taken.
Yeah, it's and you know, it's particularly pertinent now. I mean, you know, where businesses are obviously having to and sports clubs in particular, rethinking, you know, what do they really need? So, you know, for example, we're working with quite a lot of sports clubs at the moment who are thinking, well, actually, do we need, you know, where they've got rent and rates? I mean, there's a rate holiday at the moment, but, you know, do they need do they need that to be paying that rent, or you know, are there other ways that they could deliver the activities they've got, perhaps without the same cost? Or you know, maybe there's ways that they, you know, perhaps even things like board expenses or bringing more things online. Like you, it allows you to constantly almost check and challenge, like how you operate, where there's savings to be made, or, you know, or potential of income. And I think as well, you know, with income, it's really helpful for, you know, particularly say new committee members to see where the main income streams come from, because it helps prioritize discussion at board level. So actually it might be that you know, everyone always wants to talk about board expenses, but you know, by far the most time actually should be spent on how do we get a good system in place to make sure we get our subscriptions in, or because actually that's such a big contributor to our overall income. So it should help inform, you know, that kind of discussion and how much time is spent on each area.
It probably links really nicely as well to Derek's point that he mentioned earlier around linking it in strategically with a business plan, with the club or league's visions, that may have a financial contribution towards it, whether it be a new facility or whether it be some money put aside to make sure that the right legal support can be had for a restructure, for example. So then yeah. Visions and then milestones that clubs and leagues want to achieve will naturally need to be aligned to income expenditure budgets to make sure that they can continue to work towards that. Obviously, if there is a financial element aligned to some of their visions and kind of a key achievements that clubs and leagues want to do. And I think you've both made a really good point there around the need for club and league committee members and the role of the treasurer or finance officer to continually look at the accounts. I think that's really important, and having them presented at committee meetings is really important, and something that obviously we would strongly recommend that club and leagues do that and make those visible and transparent to all. James, obviously next section really is around kind of cash flow, and I know you mentioned that right at the beginning. Can you talk a little bit more around cash flow?
I'll give a quick kind of summary. I mean, obviously, the cash flow is a nice thing to be read really alongside the income and expenditure account, because I think most people would see the income and expenditure account as kind of giving that truer reflection of the business, but cash flow ultimately could undo the business. You know, if as I said at the start, if you're not on top of your kind of credit control, sometimes there are quite big gaps between when you actually do get paid. Sometimes there's even almost like little things to be careful of when you're looking at a cash flow statement of when the timing of when bills are paid. So say like an energy bill is a good example of that. But it allows you to see the peaks and troughs in your season as to when you get your money in. So, you know, whenever we used to look at kind of football clubs that are higher up the league, professional clubs, although you know a lot of clubs do get into trouble, it people always used to say, well, actually it should be quite straightforward from a cash flow perspective, because you tend to know when your money's coming in. You know, you tend to get your season tickets in at the start of the season, you should get your commercial revenue in at the start of the season. If people get TV money, they know when it's coming in. So you know, that level of kind of detail about when that money will be received just really helps you to then manage the money that you've got. And you know, other things pop up as well. So, you know, in terms of, you know, bad weather or worse, as we've seen with COVID, really, you know, the more you can know about when money is likely to be received and where you get a pattern year on year, it's again helpful for the committee to prepare and mitigate for those issues.
James, just on that, I think, yeah, sorry, Derek, I was just going to bring you in here because I think it's a really good point. I know you mentioned right at the beginning around looking at trends, and James gave some examples there that might be more eligible for clubs within maybe National League system, play a higher step level of football, for example. At a grassroots club level, do you still have the same opportunities to make sure that certain kind of elements of cash flow are in at certain times to help you understand what your season may look like from a financial perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. And particularly fees. I think all of us probably listening to tonight are aware of when fees should be paid, and you do set a forecast for when you expect them to come in. But we always allow for 20%, as an example, that don't come in on that due date. So if you expect to get 50,000, you know, you're not going to get that. It's very unlikely unless you've got an extremely efficient service and you've got some fantastic parents. But that's unrealistic, I think. So I would suggest that you budget for, you know, 80% of your cash flows almost across the line. Across every line, unless you're absolutely 100% confident you're going to get that money in, because overstating your income, it will get you in a difficult situation as well. The other point I'll make about cash flow is, I think when you do run a business, you do need to ensure that you have a number of cash flows coming into your bank account. So don't become reliant upon your fees as your only income stream. And that's why I think it's important that this is linked to your business plan, because if you need to look at other income streams, you should do that regularly as well. Because if you do lose, let's say, 10 teams from your club, and you are reliant upon them fees actually running your balance sheet, then you are in trouble. So it's just worth considering a number of different options to get into your cash flow statement.
No, I think that's really important. And like you said, Derek, again, speaking from a club at a grassroots level, it's important whichever level of the game you play, however big or small your club size is, diversity of income is so important. And I think now more than ever in the current climate we find ourselves in, you've made a good point there. Subscription fees possibly in some cases may fall less than the 80% that you have at your club, just because times are going to be exceptionally challenging for everyone. James, you mentioned right at the start around different capital projects, maybe needing to find different sources of kind of support for projects. So the ones that they maybe had earmarked might not necessarily be there. So that diversification of income is really crucial. So two really good points there. James, do you want to carry on with the cash flow elements? I think there's a little bit more we could just tease out with you.
Yeah, sure. So and I think there's a statement on the next page, isn't there? So I think I mentioned before, it's, you know, when you look at, you know, the difference between income and expenditure and the cash flow statement, it's really about the timing of when that income and expenditure happens. And yeah, if you can get both, then it's ideal. So, again, it's... You know, it's often easiest to apply it to small businesses, but then sports clubs and football clubs are small businesses, because, you know, ultimately there are lags in terms of and I think it helps you with trying your best to think about your systems and how you receive that money. So I know a lot of work's been done on trying to make things cashless and move to direct debit, and you know, the more really that can be done, it obviously helps from a governance perspective to take away some of the risks of managing money, but it's really helps with the cash flow. So yeah, you know, point that Derek made earlier. So the more you can make your cash flow predictable and get it closer to being certain that you're going to get 100%, the better, really. And then have provision for, you know, I think it's a bit unfair to expect that lots of clubs would have had provision for a pandemic. But, you know, thinking about poor weather, matches being cancelled, that's something that will happen every winter. So, you know, how will you meet how will those bumps be met? So are there sufficient reserves or other ways that you can bring in that income, you know, to mitigate those risks? Okay, and then so then moving on to the balance sheet. So this again is a snapshot in time. Tends to be looking back over a year period. So it will list the assets. So what you own or are owed. So it could be debts and then liabilities. Money that you owe on a particular day, and the way they're typically broken out is in terms of long term and short term. So really in terms of short term assets, they're talking about assets that can be, well, which could be cash or other assets that could turn into cash within a year. So kind of thinking back to the cash flow issue and mitigating risks, you know, short-term assets should be able to help with that, whereas long-term assets, which might be facilities or equipment, for example, are going to be take longer to turn into cash if that's what you needed to do. And the same kind of definition really with short-term liabilities. So yeah, you know, a short-term liability is a creditor, something that you owe to someone, as an example, or tax that you're expecting to pay, maybe rates for the facility that you own, or VAT on transactions. And again, you know, then there's also the long-term liabilities, which could be a mortgage, it could be a loan, something that's payable over a longer period of time.
Derek, just to give a club overview of kind of assets and liabilities, what were some of the things at Forest Glade that you had in terms of assets? I know your ground very well. I know your clubhouse. Are they part of some of your assets and liabilities as a club?
It's an interesting challenge, actually, because I suppose in a way the club's fortunate or unfortunate that we haven't got clubhouse facilities, so we haven't got them huge overheads that lots of clubs have got. But when we moved to our current facility, we found a greenfield site that had nothing on it. And in the landlord's view, well, that's fine for football, then just sort of get on with it. Now, that wasn't any good if you're trying to provide proper facilities for boys and girls of this world. So we then spoke to a local businessman who owned a number of I would classify them as dormer buildings. And we pulled four of them together along the M25 through the Dartford Tunnel, and that closed the tunnel. That created all sorts of challenges locally. But we got there eventually, and we built a clubhouse around that. And the only way we could finance that at the time was actually borrowing money from the guy who was providing us with the facility. And he was great. So he helped the club out. We paid the money back over a period of 8 years. So that became an asset of ours without any need to pay any more money back. But I think as a club, if you look around your grounds, you can actually see a number of things that you've purchased or hired over the years that you built the club up. And you'll find that you've got quite a lot of assets. And you just need to ensure that over a period of time, they will depreciate if they're on that sort of scheme. But just realise that they will need replacing at some stage. And I think that, again, comes back to the balance sheet of actually making a line for goalposts, as an example. I know the FA have kindly helped us through some of that, but just make sure that as a consequence of that, that you are providing enough cover to make sure you cover these items in the future.
Brilliant. Great overview, Derek. That's really, really useful. And like you say, there'll be lots of assets at clubhouses, and that depreciation is really important. But more importantly than that is having a line in your expenditure section that actually does accommodate for any kind of future replacements, etc. So I think it's really important. Really good overview of of budgets, of understanding different accounts, of income and expenditure sheets, of cash flow sheets, of balance sheets. So lots and lots of information. A great introductory offer. So thank you very much, James and Derek. Exceptionally useful. And like I say, lots of terminology for our listeners to digest. So it might be a case that you need to rewind and go back to a point just to make sure you jot down what that definition is and some of the top tips that you've been given today. All the information that has been presented to you from James, myself and Derek will be available on a guidance doc in due course. For anyone wanting to further extend their knowledge on this introductory topic, you can head over to Club Matters website, where there is a host of resources, guidances and a workshop that takes you through and reconfirm some of the points we've shared with you today. Next week, we'll be looking at exploring ways in which to manage your money. So exploring the main responsibilities when it comes to managing your money, as well as the valuable internal controls which can be used to support this. So it just leaves me to say, Derek and James, thank you very much for your time this evening. For those listening, thank you as well, because I know that your time is exceptionally precious. And we look forward to welcoming you all next week. Thank you.